Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand. And go before Him in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for another day You've given us, Lord. Lord, another day to gather, sing praises, worships unto You. Lord, to hear Thy word, another chance to grow closer to You, Lord. Give our all to You. Lord, we just ask You to have the full preeminence of this service. Lord, everything that's said and done be done for Your glory, Your honor. Lord, not our will, but Thy will be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 80 in our capstone life books. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must try. God is always leading us along, always watching after us. Amen. In shady green pastures, so rich. is there. Amen. Page 3 in our own capstone books again. And only trust Him. Tis so sweet. Amen. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord,
today, Lord, as we've come to the house of the Lord to not only worship You this morning, but also to hear Your word, to draw closer to You, Lord, that we would be more conformed to the image of Your Son, that, Lord, that You could live through us each and every day, Father, and that the people would see Jesus in us. living and manifesting in our lives, proving, Lord, that you rose from the grave and that you are living because you're living through us. We pray, Lord, that you just bless this offering, that it be used for that building of thy kingdom, and bless those that can give and those that can't. Bless our brother as he brings forth the word. May he fill us hungering and pulling, Father. Amen. We just ask for revelation this morning, Lord, of it. And we just give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. We are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. Now that whoever has a need to raise their hand, take it before him. Brother DeLon, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we're truly grateful and thankful to be here again today, Lord, and praying we can gather here today, Lord. The desire of every heart should be, Lord, to have a closer walk with you, Lord, and this hour and day that we're living in, Lord. God, Satan's raging and going about seeking whom we may devour, Lord. My God, our desire be to go closer and closer to you, Lord, and fortify ourselves, Lord, my God, behind your word, Lord, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might be able to stand true and faithful unto you. We pray this morning for the needs of the people, every hand was raised, and you know the need, Lord, and we pray that you grant it, Lord, that it may bring glory and honor to thy name. Remember those who are absent, Lord. Maybe they need a touch from you, Lord. Maybe they're feeling down in their body, Lord. My God, we pray, Father, you just strengthen the Lord and touch him now, Lord. And we pray, Father, this morning as your word comes forth, may the whole anointing of thy Holy Spirit be upon thy servant as it brings forth the word of life, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you just open our minds and our hearts to receive your word, Lord, and we might be strengthened thereby. We ask this thing all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's just turn to page 491. You can sit if you want. 491 and only believe. We have come into his house. Amen. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him.
Christ the Lord. So let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship Him. Yes, Lord. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the mercy and the grace that allows us to be able to lift up our hands, Lord, and to know that that bumper of blood is overshadowing us. And Lord, you can only see that predestinated seed, Lord, that foreordained the often glorified body. Lord, we're so thankful for the mercy and the grace you've shown us and the love. And Lord, once more, that's allowed us together and to come in this morning, Lord, and in the presence of two or three, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you'd be in the midst. And Lord, you're here this morning. And Lord, we've come to partake of your precious word, Lord, that you've left us. And Lord, may we weigh ourselves by it, Lord, and check up, Lord, and see where maybe we can run or draw a little closer unto you. For Lord, we see the swift approaching in the hour that we live. And Lord, we want to be ready. Lord, we want to make sure that everything in our lives is exactly what you would have it be. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word and upon our hearts to hear and receive. And Lord, for it all, we'll give you the glory and the honor that's due you. In the lovely, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. You happy to be out this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. While you're still standing, turn our Bibles over to Matthew, the 4th chapter, for scripture reading. Amen. Just a little thought the Lord laid on my heart, things we've heard before, but maybe we just renew our minds and maybe think about it in a little different way and ask God to continue to open our hearts and to make it real. Amen. Everything God's got for us. Amen. There in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Matthew, the 4th chapter, and about the 18th verse of the 4th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. As we've gathered in this morning, each one of us, I believe at some point in our life, we've heard Jesus call us. And each one of us, he's called us for a special reason, each of us for a special purpose. But just as he called these, they left everything. These men dropped everything they were doing to follow him. They didn't hesitate. They didn't try to hang on to anything, but they just left. It says he left everything, and they followed him. And as this morning, as Jesus, is, the word has come and called to each one of us, as we've started our walk with the Lord, have we truly dropped all of everything? Our ambitions, our desires, what we wanted to be in life, where we expected to get. Have we truly just took off following the Lord and truly looking for His leadership and what He truly wants out of our lives in our life? You know, there's many examples throughout the scriptures that we can look to, but I was going to turn over to Genesis this morning to the 12th chapter and read a portion of scripture, and then we'll get into some quotes. Amen. But just something I want us to strike our hearts a little greater. We're living in such a time where it's just so lax, and people don't care. They go to church, they're content in believing a prophet, they're content in gathering into services, and that's good enough for them. That makes them a Christian. Maybe not cut their hair if they're a lady and wear a dress, or a husband being clean shaven and a man being looking like a man. But God's word is so powerful, and there's so much of it laying here that each one of us must be responsible for. But I'd like to use Abraham here this morning as a little example in Genesis, the 12th chapter. We'll begin here at the first verse. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And I want you to notice that, but God told him to separate himself from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. And I will show you, and the prophet expounded on that a little bit more here in the message, the patriarch Abraham. I want you to notice how he said, he told him to separate himself from his father's house and his kindred. And Brother Brennan, beginning here on page 1 of the patriarch Abraham, which was preached February 7th, 1964, he says, now Abraham was just an ordinary man. He wasn't something special. And God never called him, as far as we have any record, until he was 75 years old. And his wife, which was his half-sister, being 65 years old at the time, they had probably lived together since they were very young, and she was barren and had no children. God called him to a complete separation, to separate himself from the rest of the world and from all of his people and from all of his kindred. There was a special thing for him to do. And when God expects you to do a special thing, he demands it, a complete separation from any doubt. You've got to come to full obedience to obey what he says. God demands it. You can't do it no other way. Now, he always sets an example, and that was his example of a complete separation from all of his family and of his kindred and so forth, to walk a separated life to God. Years passed and nothing happened, but still Abraham held on. He wasn't discouraged. He never staggered at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. And year by year as it went by, no doubt many critics come by and said, Abraham, father of nations, how many children do you have now? That didn't stagger him. No child, Sarah was past the time of life of bearing children, way beyond menopause. But still Abraham believed God just the same, and he made preparations for the baby because he knew and was fully persuaded that God could not make a promise that he was not big enough to back up. And his seed should think the same thing, regardless of how unreal it seems, how unnatural it seems to the natural mind, yet God cannot make a promise that he is not big enough to take care of. And we believe the same thing today. Every true seed of Abraham believes the same thing. No matter what the circumstances, how much knowledge we've accumulated, and how many things has happened, how unnatural it is to the natural mind, or how foolish it is, rather, to the natural mind, it doesn't make a bit of difference. If God said so, that's it. And the seed of Abraham are settled upon thus saith the Lord. Amen. And we can be settled upon thus saith the word. And I want you to notice, years have passed. The prophet's message came, and here the Lord is, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing it back to our remembrance. All of the things this word has said, and what the true baptism of the Holy Ghost will do in a person's life, the results that it can bring. But you know, it takes a full obedience and a full separation from all doubt, from all creeds and ideas. We can't make excuses for ourselves and feel sorry for ourselves. Well, I don't have to do this, and I don't have to do that. I don't have to go that far. But we must take God's word just the way he said it. And he meant exactly what he said. It's when he called Abraham and he told him to separate himself. Listen here, Brother Branham. This is in Jehovah Jireh, page 10. Preached April 2nd, 1964. He says, when he finally fully obeyed God, when he fully obeyed God to its fullness to separate himself completely, it was then the Lord appeared to him again. God told him he'd give him a land. But if you go back and look in the scriptures, it wasn't till Lot left him. And as he says here, he says it was then that the Lord appeared unto him again. Until he did that, the Lord stayed away from Abraham. But when he fully obeyed, then God appeared to him. He said, Abraham, lift up your eyes, look east, look west, look north, look south. All of it belongs to you. Amen. I like that. And you know, that's something. Let me stop there. But I want you to notice, God meant exactly what he said. He told him to separate himself from everyone and he would bless him. But Brother Branham plainly showed us in several different places till Lot went with him. And it says in the scriptures, and Lot went with him. And Lot went with him. But the day that he separated himself from Lot, God spoke to him and said, lift up your eyes. All that I've promised, I'm going to give you this. Look north, look east, look west. It's all yours. God brought the promise to pass just as way it had to be. But it took a full obedience to God's word. Everything had to be lining up 100% in his life. It had to be just the way God said it. And you know, today we make excuses for ourselves why we're still doing this and all of this is why that's happening. But God's power and word is the same. When he said he would repent and be baptized, he'd fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as our brother was bringing out last Sunday morning, the desires will change. Your drive will change. Everything about you will change. When you get in the presence of God, as Brother Branham put it, you'll become hysterical. You'll feel the presence of God. All of these things, but why? If our life is not in tune and the Holy Ghost is not residing within us, we can come to church and claim to believers all day long, but it won't make a change in our lives. It won't make a difference in our life. We'll just continue to be carnal churchgoers. We'll just continue to gather in and sing and praise God. And the promises will never be fulfilled in our life that are laying in this book. But to the true believer, those promises are real. And they're alive, and there's a place for them to be fulfilled. But here in the message, this is in God's Word, Calls for a Total Separation, preached January 21st, 1964. He says, this is at the bottom of page 3. And Jesus has constantly told us there is a separation. We find the last thing that's predicted to the human race before that great and final day we ascend into the presence of God. There will be a final separation. He will separate the sheep from the goats. God will continually be separating and separating. That's what he's doing tonight. That's what he always does. You can see it in every meeting. He separates faith from unbelief. He speaks out and declares himself to those who will believe him and have faith in him. And every time we come in here, that's what the word is doing. It's separating faith from unbelief. It's cutting it out. It's pulling it out of our lives. It's showing, establishing a true revelation in our hearts, a faith that will hold and stand and hold us through it, everything. It's a total separation. We're not to go back into the world no more or have anything to do with the world, but cleave only unto God. Jesus is coming after a bride, a woman, a church that's separated from the things of the world or the cares of the world. She is separated from the cares and the tradition of the churches. She is separated only to God, and God is the Word. And as a husband and a wife is one, so does the bride and the Word become one, for the Word is living through the bride, and that's her credentials, that's her identification. And as we gather in here and we hear this precious word, who is this Melchizedek? He told us it would plainly, when this word hears that, it would throw this body into subjection to that word. And if we don't see overcoming in our life, if we still see that we don't care about the little things, we let things just go on and go on, and the word comes, and we don't have no change in our life. And you say, what kind of change? Oh, we may say, I believe Brother Branham's a prophet. I believe this end time message. I believe so much. I believe the mysteries, and I believe marriage and divorce, and I believe all of these things. But what it comes down to, the little foxes that eats the vine. It's the little things that the Holy Spirit's been calling out about. You know, a wife in obedience to her husband. Maybe I just can't reverence my husband. I don't obey him. I don't feel like I have to come under submission to him in everything. These are the little things. Maybe I'm a husband. I don't feel like it's my place to be the head of the home. I don't have to put my wife in submission and show her the right way. I'm the pastor of my home. Maybe I don't feel I have to go that far. That's not necessary. Or maybe I'm a parent and I'm raising children and I decide I don't need to go this far. The word told me that I should correct my children and I should be watchful in this and rear them up in the way they should go. But there's just something lacking. It never takes place in our life. Or maybe I'm a young person. And I know the word's coming, and it's telling me that I should respect my mother and my father, and I should not be a back talker, and how I should treat and act as a young person. But yet there's something down inside there I don't really care, and it doesn't really come back to my remembrance, and it just washes off of me. But we must take this word means exactly what he said. And if Jesus Christ is on the inside, it will bring this body in subjection to his word. But I want to refresh our minds to something that Brother Branham said, and just to think about it in a little different way this morning. And may we weigh ourselves, each one of us, as I was weighing my own self and saying, Lord, search my heart, Lord. I don't want to come down to that day, as the scripture says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not cast out devils? Have not I done all these things? And then him saying, depart from me, ye workers that do iniquity. And we know in the book of James, I think it's the 4th chapter of James, in the 17th verse, it says, he explains what iniquity is. Amen. We'll just read it so it's fresh in our hearts. I didn't put a marker in there. Amen. But here in the book of James, let's see here. James, the 4th chapter and 17th verse, just to read it. And he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we must take this into consideration. Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, who can condemn me of sin? And what did the prophet went on to show us, that it was unbelief. Who can condemn me of unbelief? What have I not done that the word said I would do? And how we come in here, and look how much word we're responsible for. Look how much word we've heard, each one of us. And to know is to do good and doeth it not. To us it becomes sin. If I'm a wife and I will not respect my husband, where does that place me? If I'm a husband that won't rule my home, where does that place me? If I'm a young person, where does that place me? We're talking about, our pastor's been talking about getting ready for a rapture. He's coming back for that little bride that's word upon word. She's going to line up 100%, not making excuses for herself. Well, I do this because of that and this over here. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Maybe I make excuses why I can't be at every service. This is why I don't come every service. What's God see, though? The word says it's even more so as you see that day approaching. How each word is so should become so real. God didn't need an interpreter. He said exactly what he meant to say. And every word has to become that real to us. And we've got to see it in that reality. Here in the breach, which was preached, amen, I believe this was preached in 63. Let me see if I can find the front of it here. Amen. Amen. I know it was preached in 63. I don't know what month. This is just in the front of the church age book. I can't see if I can find the front page. There's a couple different messages in here. But we'll just start here on page 81. I want you to listen to what Brother Branham is saying. And then let's think about this. Amen. Now, we say sin. We just call it sin, but break it down. What is sin? A lot of people say drinking, committing adultery. No, that's the attributes of sin. That's what sin causes. But the real sin is unbelief. That's where it's named and called out. If you're a believer, you don't do those things. But no matter how holy you try to make yourself and how religious you try to be, if you do those things, you're an unbeliever. That's scriptural. And how we should be weighing our lives. There is mistakes that we'll make. But there should be an overcoming in our life. But what if I continually am seeing the same thing keeps happening in my life? The same thing over and over and over. I keep losing my temper all the time. I keep my husband. I can't correct my children. I see all of this just continually taking place in my life. What's happening? Something's lacking. Something's missing. I've missed something somewhere. I'm lacking something that God wanted to give out. And we can't just keep going, oh, it's just a mistake, it's just a mistake. We've got to face up to reality that when he said, when he placed that life inside of us, it would reproduce exactly the life that was in that Bible. We've got to see the reality of the word, where he's fixing to come again. And he's not coming for half-lukewarm church members and half-lukewarm people that don't want to believe every word that he said and they don't have every word living in their life. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, as our brother read it, but after the Spirit. How the Word of God should be changing our lives. We should see a true reality. There should be a true peace in our hearts, a true joy in our lives, a long suffering for our brothers and our sisters. This whole Bible has got to become a walking epistle in our life. But do we see it happening that way? But we must keep it, this Word, fresh and in our hearts. As he says here, and be not afraid. Preached June 7th, 1963. This is on page 15. He says, you know, sin is unbelief. You know, did you know lying is not a sin? Committing adultery, that's not sin. Drinking whiskey, smoking cigarettes, cursing, using the Lord's name in vain, that's not sin. That's the attributes of unbelief. You do that because you're not a believer. That's the only one. There's only one sin. I said that one night in a Methodist church, and an old sister standing there said, you know, with her collar up high, she said, Reverend Branham, pray tell me, what is sin? I said, it's unbelief. That's right. You do that because you're an unbeliever. If you do that, you're still an unbeliever. Amen. Think about it. You see a woman in this message walking around with a tight skirt on, split halfway up the back. Is that a believer? No. If she believed the word, she wouldn't dress that way. And it applies to us in the same way. Oh, I just trimmed the ends of my hair. We look at those as big things. Adultery, that's a big thing. They unbelieve. But we got to bring it down to the very core of our life. Every word. If I'm not correcting my children the way this scripture says I am an unbeliever. I don't believe that word. If I'm a wife that will not come under subjection to my husband, and I've got to show my authority and show my highfalutin ways, I am an unbeliever. That's what the word placed me in. If I'm a husband that will not take, that's where the word places me as an unbeliever. Every word, it's how real it's got to become. It's a reality to what God said. And if we were a believer, this word will change our lives to match exactly what's in there. And that's what we're looking for. But oh my, what an assurance comes into our lives when we see that word's lining up. When I see this word come and I can line up and say, Lord, I see where I failed. But Lord, it won't be that way no more. And I see it change my body. Then I can have assurance and know that, oh Lord, I see it taking place in my life. But full obedience. Oh my, we must come to its every word. And saints, when you begin to look at it, how short we'll see ourselves. We'll see how we truly need him every moment of the day to hold our hand. Because if he don't, we're going to slip and fall. Amen. But oh my, if he didn't shorten the days, the very elect would scarcely be saved in this time. And how we ought to cry and pray out, Lord, open my heart and understanding. Show me, Lord. Make it a reality. Don't just let somebody tell me where I'm wrong. But you show me, Lord, with a reality to what I need to overcome. Hey, amen. You know, oftentimes we can come into church and someone can, maybe times past we've seen it, as our brothers mentioned it, you can go to someone and express to them where they're wrong and what they've done, but they can't see it. They don't understand why they were wrong. And that's why we need God to open our hearts and to make this word so real and so alive to us. Hey, amen. That it would change our very beings completely. As he goes on here, he says, I said unbelief. That's right. You do that because you're an unbeliever. If you do that, you're still an unbeliever. That's right. There's only two things. You're either a believer or not a believer. So then the Bible said, he that believeth not is condemned already. See? So sin is the only thing that attributes itself of unbelief. Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works that you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. So you see, here he was doing the same thing that God did. And oh my, how this word is God. In the beginning was the word. And when we see that, we're doing the same thing God did. And how an assurance that ought to be pulling into our hearts. But we've got to see it happening, saints. We've got to see it being alive. Give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Do we see that being manifested and vindicated in our lives? If not, where's it place us? That's the reality of God's word. There is no middle of the road, as our brother said. You're either climbing higher or you're sinking farther behind. We've got to make sure that we're seeing with the reality that God meant exactly what he said. And not just because of some church doctrine or something we've heard in the past, we've allowed our minds to make an excuse of why I let this go on and why I let that take place and why I live like this or I do this over here. But it's got to be filtered through the word, each and every one of us. Not my idea, not our pastor's idea, but the word of what God has left here for us in this day. Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I do not the works, let's see, he said, and he was doing the same thing that God did. Now I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, then surely the church should do the same thing he did, because the same life is in it. And if here stands a peach tree, and I take all of the peach life out of it and put the apple life in it, what kind of fruit will it bear? Apples. That's the kind of life that's in it. Amen. And how the reality of God's word should be coming alive. That we should take him. If we see that it's not lining up, there is still time. The blood is still here. There's a place to reach in God. But we've got to be honest with ourselves before we can get any farther along. Before God can truly reveal himself, we've got to make sure that we're lining up 100%. And what he's got. All of these promises that are laying here are to that little predestinated elect that's shielded over. Amen. He says the kind of life, the life that was in Christ is in us. It'll bear the fruits that he bore. It's got to. But what a mix-up of the people has got into today that think that Christianity is one of the softest things. All they do is put their name on a book, have somebody to sprinkle them or something another, and give a minister the right hand of fellowship. That's all there is to it. Go on out. That's not Christianity. Christianity is self-denial. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Die out to the things of the world when all condemnation is gone. And sometimes we may think dying out to the things of the world is ball games, racetracks, these big items we looked at, but anything that's not like Christ is of the world. Hey, man, we've got to see it that real. It's got to be every word. Die out to the things of the world when all condemnation is gone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How do you get any? By joining? No. Shaking hands? No. By a union? By education? By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. By the Holy Spirit baptism we're in Christ. And there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Amen. Oh, that would make anybody shout to be in there anyhow. That's the good part. And that's what brings that reaction to the Holy Spirit. That's what brings the tears to your eyes. That's what makes you shout. That makes what you jump when you can. Oh, when the word's coming. Oh, it's good to jump when the song service is going. It's good to jump when people are praising the Lord. But what about when the word's coming? Can you sit there with the word striking your heart and say, amen, amen, I see it. There's something down inside of you that's enjoying it. You're not sitting there just kind of half asleep. Oh, I wonder what we're going to do when we get out of service. Oh, I wish he'd hurry up. But there's something down on the inside that's pulsating. Lord, I see myself being identified in that very scripture. I'm seeing myself identified in the word, Lord. We're fixing to leave this world. This is all going to pass away. But we've got to believe it with all of our hearts. Oh my, if we truly believed it 100%, it might change the way we would do some of the things we do. But oh, we need a reality of what God's got for us. Amen. Here in the message, this is in the token, preached September 1st, 1963, very familiar. page 44, paragraph 337. Now look, the word assures us of the promise. All these are texts that I've set down here, just keep on preaching all day, look like. See, the word assures us of the promise, because it is the promise. The word is the promise, and the word is God. And the word is ours, and we become the word, and the word becomes us. If you abide in me and my word in you, then see, it just becomes one great big family. It assures us, because why? It's all part of us. It becomes part of us. What a text. Assures us the promise. The token is the sign that the purchase has been made and been accepted. And you can't get that token from the railroad fare until you pay the price. And the only way you're going to pay the price is pay it. That's right. What? Believe it, accept it. Full obedience to the whole word of God will entitle you to that token. Full obedience. Not part of it as far as your denomination goes or your idea goes, but all of it. Full obedience to the word, which is Christ, brings you into Christ. Now what if you was all in but your feet hanging out? And what if you was all in with your hands hanging out? Most all of us in, but the heart hanging out. Yet the heart's in the world yet, see? But what? We don't do that. Full, complete obedience puts you in the word one. You believe it every bit. All of it's in you, and you watch it working through you. And how that ought to be the cry of our hearts. Lord, do I see a full obedience in my life? Am I truly seeing that every word means that much to me? Or do I see that I don't really care sometimes? I just let this slide and I let that go. It's not that big of a deal. Maybe I should have reached over and corrected my son or my daughter and I let it go. I just didn't think it was that important. Maybe my husband asked me to do something as a wife, and I ain't got time for that. I ain't doing that. Maybe as a husband, I'm just, oh, I don't feel like providing this. Who cares if I let the roof fall in on my family? I ain't got to do that. That's part of being a provider. What if all of these things, what are we letting go? What's slacking in our lives? Because to be a believer, every word has to be lined up 100%. It's got to be everywhere. There isn't no room for any of it to be lacking. But we should be written epistles, read of all men, and we will be. And that Bible tells exactly who we are. It shows us where we're standing every service we come in here. But we've got to take it with a reality and apply it. Lord, I need you. It's either oh me or amen.
And every time we come in, that's what the Word is doing. The Holy Spirit is here checking us, our hearts, lining us up, trimming us off here, shaving us off there, honing us down, getting us ready to be standing there exactly the way God wanted us to be when that last trumpet sounds. But all saints, may we take heed to the precious Word as it's coming. Now's our chance to make sure that we are lining up 100%. Make sure every word is right in tune. Not waiting till that day and then, oh my, I forgot about that. I didn't think about that. What about this? What about when we need a healing or we get really deathly sick? And then where we stand when we know that my life hasn't been lining up. But there is a people that is coming to that place. As our brother mentioned, there Thursday evening, at that day you'll know that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. This is that day. Amen. It's lining up time, saints. It's checking up time. It's a sober time, but yet a happy time. We should be so thankful for what God is doing and where He's brought us from and how we can see molding the very character in our lives. But we've got to line up with every word and make sure that we're finding the spot He wants us to be in. But all may we press for that mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But oh my saints, I pray the word, not what I've got to say, but the word of God is becoming more and more alive to us, more and more of a reality day by day, as we can see everything God said taking place and lining up. But we must remember, it's one thing to just keep going, oh, it was just a mistake, it's just a mistake. But we must make sure that it's lining up to the word, that there's overcoming in our lives. That it's not the same thing, and I just don't want to do it just because I just flat don't believe it, and that's really where it boils down to. But all we want to be found being true believers, truly, truly what He wants us to be. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. I pray it'll help someone, stir your heart some way. Maybe continue to help us think and to meditate on what God wants us to be. I know I have. It's really, when you stop and look at God's Word, how it should be changing us daily. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus, To Be Like Jesus. Amen.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
People that claim to follow this message, but may we truly desire to be a people that's a matching, not just a people following a message, but a people that's lining up to what Jesus Christ is coming back to get, a bride that He said would be in His image. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for every time we get to come. And Lord, sometimes maybe we come and Lord, the food that's placed on our plate may not be what we wanted to hear, Lord, and it may not be what we wanted to bring. But Lord, what You give us to bring is all we can serve. And Lord, we just ask that it'll help wherever it's needed. And Lord, that it would do a work in the heart of Your little bride. Lord, help us to each one, Lord, surrender ourselves greater. And Lord, to make sure we're truly separated out of them all in belief, Lord, and truly hold totally to You. Lord, we're living in the last few moments of time, and Lord, we want to make sure that we're ready. Lord, this might be our last day on earth. We don't know. But Lord, we want to know that, Lord, where we stand with You. And Lord, we want to see this word conformed and confirmed in our life. That Lord, there is a testimony as Enoch had, I know that we please God. Lord, how that ought to burn in our hearts, Lord, to have that same testimony. And Lord, to be a people that you would be proud to say, as you said with Job, have you considered my servant Job? Lord, can you say that about us? Lord, I pray each one of us, Lord, will just continue to press. Lord, have a cry in our hearts, Lord, for revelation, for understanding of your word. Lord, that we would continue to reach out in the Spirit, Lord, and to pull on you, Lord, to have your way in our lives. Lord, we just ask that you would bless each one that was able to be here today. Lord, bless those that couldn't, strengthen them and encourage them. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with our pastor and his wife, Lord, as they're out traveling. Lord, keep him safe. Give him rest for his body, Lord, and his mind. Lord, just touch him. And Lord, just let him have a few days of relaxation. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the praise for everything that's said and done. And Lord, if you should be your will, bring us back whenever you see fit, Lord. And we'll never fail to give you the praise for it in the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If y'all don't mind, why don't you bow your heads for just a moment? I know some of you thought, I know our pastor's gone. Some of you had mentioned maybe being able to get a chance to do something this evening. And if that's what you wanted to do, that's fine. But I just wanted to see how many wanted to have service this evening. If you would, raise your hand. Okay. Amen. I think we'll just go ahead and cancel it. Amen. I think the majority's probably not going to be available this evening. But may the Lord bless you. Keep on your hearts the things our pastor's been bringing, what the Holy Spirit's been bringing. And keep these things fresh and in our hearts of what God is looking for in our lives. And though we're in this world, we're not of it, saints. And may we continue to press on for what God would have us be. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus one day at a time as we go. Amen.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Oh, yes. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow.